It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
This is an A1 four-alarm red, white, and blue alert.
Beer News.
Well, it's been a long time, and we're finally coming back around, joining our good friend Rick Light to catch up on all of the things going on out there in the world of beer. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dick. How have you been?
Very good. Glad to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's nice to be back here at the Big Foamy Head.
So what is going on out there in the world of beer?
Well, there's plenty of news going on, and I'll get right into it. I'm going to talk a little bit about some strange laws around the country and some things that are going on. I know you guys have been talking about the effort to get the alcohol levels increased in places like Alabama and West Virginia and Mississippi. And further out west, in November, voters in Oklahoma might get the chance to decide if grocery stores can sell more than just 3-2 beer. And that 3-2 beer is measured by weight, so most people recognize beer alcohol content by volume. So that equals 4.05% alcohol by volume. So it's a fairly weak level. And there's a group called Oklahomans for Modern Laws, which has launched a petition drive to collect enough signatures to allow grocery stores to sell at a higher level alcohol, and also to allow the grocery stores to sell wine.
Okay, so the Oklahomans right now, at least on their beer selection, they're very limited because you're not going to get any kind of like a Rogue or anything like that. There's no Dogfish Head to be had. They don't make anything that low in alcohol.
Yeah, no, they don't. And you know, you can go into a liquor store to buy those types of beers, but if you want to go into a convenience store or a grocery store, you're limited to the 3-2 beer.
Yeah.
And even people like Anheuser-Busch, and SAB Miller make some of their beers at a special low level so that they can sell them in those locations. And this group, Oklahomans for Modern Laws, they've got to get 138,000 signatures in the next 90 days to get this on the ballot.
That's a lot of beer drinkers in 90 days.
Yeah, there's a lot of beer drinkers out there, you know, but boy, Oklahoma has been one of the hardest states in the nation to drink in over the years. I mean, that's a state that didn't repeal prohibition until 1959.
Man, apparently they didn't get the memo.
No. And speaking of get the memo, in your home state of Tennessee, on July 1st, you know, Dick, it doesn't matter if you're 19 or 89, no ID, no beer if you're trying to buy beer in a grocery store. Tennessee has become the first state in the nation to require clerks to ask for identification from all beer buyers at off-premise locations. It's a new law. It's called Tennessee Responsible Vendor Act, and the bill is designed to cut underage drinking. It's probably also going to boost the egos of some 40-something men and women who might just flock to Tennessee to buy beer now.
Yeah, we've noticed here, and I was talking to Mike earlier about this, they've been rehearsing for this. I've had some of the kids that when I'm checking out, you know, they're not old enough to buy the beer, they're old enough to check it out, and they look at me and say, I have to see an ID and I have to do it. So apparently the word has come down that they've been anticipating this, and it's like, well, you know, I guess I'm okay with it. That's one more place to show the ID. And of course we've come up with the conspiracy theory that you're showing the ID so they make sure you're not an Al-Qaeda dude. And I had to point out, well, you know, they don't drink beer.
Well, yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, I mean, it's a little bit of a laughing matter for us, but, you know, for the operators of those stores, it's no laughing matter. I mean, they face some pretty significant fines, and they can lose their license to sell alcohol.
Yeah, you're right. And here locally, I live in one of these small suburbs surrounding Memphis, and they just delight in pointing out which grocery store they shut down or suspended their beer license because the kid behind the counter forgot to ID the undercover cop. And, yeah, it's just like a big sport around here. So I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, it's going to cut down on underage drinking. It's going to force people to have their IDs and show it. I'm not going to mind showing my ID. Definitely not going to be vain about it.
No, not at all. Hey, you know, I was just up in the Washington, D.C. area this past week, and flew through Reagan National, which is right outside of Alexandria, Virginia, where it gets kind of hot this time of year. And there's a restaurant up there called Frank Morales. He runs a restaurant called Rustico, and he came up with a great new offering on his menu, frozen beer pops. His menu at Rustico is all around fresh American ingredients and cooking styles that lean slightly towards Italy. And so he also has 30 beer taps, by the way, and a pretty good bottle selection. And he came up with this idea of freezing raspberry and plum lambic from Belgium and also a stout for a fudge-flavored beer sickle, if you will. And the new offering was unique enough that the Associated Press decided to do a story on Rustico's beer pops. Well, you know, there's an old adage that all publicity is good publicity, but it kind of went wrong here because the Associated Press reporter called the Virginia Alcohol Bureau of Control and asked the enforcement folks, you know, were there any regulations concerning frozen beer? And that set off the government regulators, and they're trying to stifle some of the fun and creativity at Rustico. The ABC says that their rules state that beer must be served either in its original container or directly to the customer immediately after it's poured from the original container. It's probably a good rule, Dick, because it stops bars from maybe trying to pass off a cheaper beer to customers if they order a higher-priced product. But obviously, that's not the intent of Rustico.
Right. Okay, I see. But, you know, I wondered about that as you were saying it. Why would that... why would they want to enforce it? But I say it's kind of a consumer protection. But they're not selling this. They're selling this more or less as a dessert, a novelty. And it is what it is. And nobody's getting fooled by that. So it is kind of a left-handed application of the law.
Yeah, it is. And, you have plenty of people sitting around the Virginia ABC offices that need to justify their existence. So they're dispatching investigators out to Alexandria to take a look at the situation. And on Morales' part, you know, he points out that they use beer in the preparation of a number of their recipes, and it's never been challenged. One of the issues here is that their beer pops right now are 100% beer. So his culinary team is looking over the situation and trying to figure out, you know, can we change the recipes a little bit so beer becomes an ingredient in the product and not the entire product, and they're going to try to see if that will allow cooler heads to prevail at the Virginia ABC.
Well, of course, reading this, you know, it makes you wonder, how are you getting it to freeze? I mean, I know there's alcohol. If you get a low enough alcohol, at some point it's going to freeze. And aren't they already mixing it with something to give it a little base to freeze?
No, actually, beer will freeze. It doesn't have enough alcohol content in it. I can remember, you know, I now have a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old daughter, but one of the things that they told us when we were going into the hospital in both cases was to freeze a couple of cans of beer and bring them in case your wife developed back labor and you could sort of roll the back with them and enjoy the beer once it thawed out.
Ah, okay, okay. That makes sense. Well, you know, it's good to see people being creative and cooking things up with beer. And the fudge pop sounds real good. They're using a stout, huh?
Yeah, and I don't know the stout that they happen to be using in that one. It could very well be something like a Young's double
chocolate
stout.
Yeah.
Or there's also one made out in California by Bison that's got some chocolate in it. So there's a couple of ways they can be going with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they better hurry up if they want to use any Guinness stout, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. This was an interesting item that the Evening Standard in London reported about a week ago. Diageo, which is a drinks giant that spans the globe, and they're based in London, and they own Guinness. They are mulling over the idea of halting production at St. James's Gate, Dublin, where they've been brewing beer for nearly 250 years. And that's actually the location where the Guinness Stout sold in the U.S. is made. The speculation is that Diageo might sell the brewery to property developers. Dublin is one of those locations where property values inside the city limits have just skyrocketed in recent years. And Arthur Guinness signed a 9,000-year lease for the 64-acre Dublin site back in 1759. And it's a little difficult for the folks at Diageo to look the other way in this case because the estimates are that St. James's Gate property could be worth as much as $4.1 billion.
Wow. That's a lot of dough for a brewery.
Yeah, it sure is.
But it's history, though. It's a historical site.
It is a historical site, and, you know, it does have some people up in arms a little bit saying that they're walking away from the heritage.
Yeah.
But then again, they could probably recreate a lot of that brewery just outside of the Dublin city limits and have their stockholders very happy with that return on the real estate investment.
Yeah, I just wonder if they sell that, if they won't sell it to developers who will turn around and turn it into a tourist destination, you know, the original site of Guinness, the St. James Gate.
Well, you know, they do have a bar called the Gravity Bar on site and a huge tour business of the brewery, but it's based around a retail operation, so who knows? You know, maybe that stays, and, you know, if they run into the right smart developer, maybe they put a little small microbrewery on site that keeps turning out Guinness beer.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I guess that's one of those things we'll have to watch and see what occurs, right?
Yep, we'll be watching that one closely, and I'm also watching to see if a Height Brewery from Korea is going to bring a new beer to the U.S. They've come out with a product that is fortified with dietary fiber. So they're basic. They basically want to know if you're drinking beer, if you're having trouble staying regular, they believe they've got a product for you.
And that sounds good. That's like Metamucil that'll get you a buzz.
It's kind of amazing. This new beer, it has a simple name. It's a letter. It's letter S. And I'll let all the listeners out there come up with ideas of what that might stand.
Yeah, what could the S stand for?
Amazing stuff. And one last international item before we say goodnight here, Dick, and that is that, you know, a lot of people have been watching the Czech Republic where Bajoki Budvar has been potentially up for sale, and there's been a real concern that the Czech government's about to unload that, and Anheuser-Busch might come in because of the ongoing Budweiser trademark dispute and buy up the brewery.
They just about have to buy it. Yeah,
it would seem like it. But while all that is going on, all of a sudden Heineken has come in and grabbed up a Krušovice brewery in the Czech Republic. That's a brewery that is sort of a mid-sized brewery in the Czech Republic. Produces great beer, in particular a dark lager that I've enjoyed. Heineken said that that's going to increase their share of the Czech market to 8%.
Well, 8% is nothing to sneeze at. That's a pretty big number.
Well, it's a big number, particularly in a country that's noted for having some pretty good beer drinkers. The
right.
Czechs over the years have been either the leaders in beer consumption or definitely in the top two or three for the last several decades.
I'm just thinking here in the U.S., craft beer consumption is what, like 7% of all the beers drank. So 8% to me is that's on par. I mean, it's a good market. And of course, with Heineken behind it and their marketing machine, you know, who knows where it can go, right?
Yeah, they're not foolish in Amsterdam with how they spend their money, that's for sure.
Well, Rick, as always, great news. Glad we're finally catching back up. I appreciate you braving the weather and the thunderstorm, which has made our audio just a little difficult, but it's coming across, and we're glad to get back with you and look forward to a lot more news from you and talk to you next week.
Dick, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good evening.
All right, thanks, Rick.